This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2015. And my name is Patrick Smith. The Belfast Giants, very successful weekend against the Fife Flyers. We've got a hell of a lot to talk about, but this is going to be a one show that's dominated by this weekend's Belpot Friendship 4 tournament at the SSE Arena. We've already got four top NCAA teams in the city, and it's going to be one hell of a weekend. But there's still Elite League to talk about coming up on this week's show. We will be talking about the Belfast Giants' two victories over the Fife Flyers, and maybe a little bit about that Daryl Lloyd incident with the linesman. We'll be looking right across the league. There were some interesting results and a few personnel changes in the Elite League. We'll cover it all here, and as always, a bit of dops. NCAA will dominate, however. We'll be talking with Shane Johnson, Rhonda McClure of the Pink Puck website, Jordan Pietras of the Coventry Blaze, as well as members of Brown University, and Derek Walser about the NCAA. We've got some of the fan agenda, and last, and by no means least, we'll be chatting with Manchester Storm's Omar Pasha about the game on Sunday night. All here on the show described by Saved by the Bell's Dennis Haskins, Mr. Belding, as one of the finest productions I have ever seen. Without exception, its ensemble cast is amazing. Cheers, Mr. Belding. It's A View from the Bridge. Hey, 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 what's going on here? You know what? You know, Mr. Belding, I know he obviously is now a massive fan of the show, but I want to know if we can have any leverage here to try to meet, like, Kelly Kapowski. That would be fantastic. That would be all my dreams come true. You big fan of Saved by the Bell, Davey?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I fancy myself as a bit of an AC Slater back in the day. Elizabeth Barkley, Jesse Spano, she was my girl. You can have Kelly Kapowski.
Was she the one who went on to be in Showgirls?
Nothing wrong with that. Good movie.
That's perfectly fine. And you, Aaron, I suppose you're going to have to go pick on Lisa Turtle. Are you the Zach of this whole situation?
As long as I'm not the Screech, yeah.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about Screech anymore. Listen, for anybody that isn't aware, A View from the Bridge is obviously an Arthur Miller play, and it's going on in Broadway at the minute. And from time to time, we do get a few tweets at AVFTV saying how good a production it is, which we're happy to accept at any time. And this week, it was Dennis Haskins from Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. The reaction, I thought, was superb. Top marks to the guys on Boomerang Corner. The video and all the stuff there was great crack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the video that Joel Needle does is absolutely outstanding. And fair play to Dennis for getting involved in a few questions and answers with guys and declaring that he didn't see anything in life as an accident, and he's happy to be a Giants fan from now on.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Anyway, he's obviously now tuned in so we can find out about these two games against Fife. On Saturday night, the Belfast Giants travelled to Kirkcaldy to take on the Fife Flyers in the Challenge Cup. I believe we only needed 3 points from the weekend to ensure that we were going to top the group, and started off well, 2 points from a 3-0 win in the Fife Ice Arena. The Giants goals come from Higgins on his return, Keefe and Lloyd on the power play towards the end. Davey, I think you put it the right way. It was a professional road win.
It was as close to a perfect road win as you could get. We stopped Fife having scoring opportunities. We played most of the game. I think Aaron talked about it in last week's show about another game. We played most of the game in the Fife zones, you know, negating shots on Murphy. I think Fife had 14 shots on Murphy through the game, which is pretty abysmal for a home team. 2 shots in the last period when they're trailing. Probably just not good enough for their fans, but Chris Higgins slotted back in like he wasn't, that they'd never been away. That line, he came in for Forney on that line with Raja and Benedict that had been doing so well, and that line really clicked over the weekend. I think they were involved in at least 5 of the goals over the weekend, and good for Murphy to get a shutout, good for the guys to get a professional road win in a difficult barn. Unfortunately, we give momentum away when we had real periods of domination in the game with taking silly penalties again, but that was kind of the story of the weekend. Quite well refereed by Rob Cahan, and a good performance and a good road win. You can't really take anything more out of it than it was a really good professional road win.
Aaron, over the last number of weeks, we've spoken about how our aggressive offensive style has led us to concede a lot of goals. Derek Walser's got to be happy with the big zero there.
Yeah, delighted. I mean, I don't think we've really even been close to getting a shutout yet this year. And now that we've got this, and, you know, as Davey said, it's an absolutely brilliant professional win. This is the video. He needs to just sit the guys down and show them this video and say, look, this is what we want to do. You're not going to concede if the puck's in the opposition's zone. So, yeah, it's brilliant. I'm delighted to see it.
I'm not sure, just coming back on that, Aaron, whether it's actually a confidence issue, because on Sunday night, we played exactly the same, 2-0 up, comfortable, really dominating the game. And as soon as we conceded, and it's been a kind of a story over the last number of weeks, when we concede, we look really shaky. And then obviously Fife came back and leveled the game up and we were able to go and get the game-winning goal and a few minutes later. But you know, for a period there, Fife just came storming back into it from a complete dead position on the Sunday afternoon.
On coming back to the Saturday, looking at the goals, when you see them on the highlights, the first goal, the Raja just has to jump onto a bad pass on a line change. But as you say, Davey, you know, the Higgins coming into that line, the movement from Raja to actually make for the goal is fantastic.
Super. We've run out of superlatives to talk about Chris Higgins, and he has been badly missed, and already he's in at a point a game. He's had 7 games this season. He keeps puck possession for us. Whenever we were, you know, I hate going back on the Sunday night again, but whenever you've got a 3-2 lead, you've only got a couple of minutes left and you're trying to, you know, Walser's thinking, who am I going to throw out here? You know, throw out my two best centermen or whatever. No, you throw Chris Higgins out, because if he gets the puck, he holds on to it. And he did that on Saturday night, and he gave us so much puck possession. He gives us so many options, because he'll go down into the corners and he'll hold on to the puck and he'll cycle it, and he'll make opportunities for other guys. And he's bang in the right place at the right time for a lovely feed from Raja, firing an empty net, and you know, it was great to have him back.
It's his first goal since the 13th of September at the NIC against the Panthers. And Aaron, look at the other two goals. The second goal came from a great forecheck from the Belfast Giants. Started off with Boxall, and then changed to Keith and Lloyd and battling in the corner. Beach was involved there as well before Keith was able to slot it home. It's that aggressive forecheck that is really the Giants have been strong at this season.
Yeah, I mean, and it's nice to see the likes of these guys getting their reward, because, you know, they've been working very hard. Keith, up until a couple of weeks ago, I think he'd won point until about 2 weeks ago, and now, you know, those shots seem to be going in for him. Jonathan Boxall, I think, has been probably the unsung player of the season so far. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, it's nice to see the guys, you know, contributing and it being obvious for them as well.
And the go ahead, Davey.
What I like about that line at the minute that's playing together of Lloyd, Keefe, and Beach in centering them ahead of Garside. And with no offence to Mark Garside, I have a lot of time for and think he's an absolutely fantastic. You go back and listen to the podcast over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Mark Garside, one of the best centermen in the AHL. Chris Beach is a better centerman. Let's make no bones about it. He's bigger body. He's very, very good on the draw. Is starting to buy into that. What Keefe and Lloyd do is infectious. When they go into the corners and they're hitting people, it makes their line mates, I've got to do it. Yeah. And Beach was the first one into the corner for that goal to go and cycle the puck. You know, Beach wins the puck. He lets us get it deep. He lets us get that cycle set up with Lloyd and Keith that they can go in and, you know, hammer in on the forecheck. And Beach is buying into it in a big way. He comes out of the corner with a puck and makes a feed and we'll get the goal from it. So, you know, it's great that line that Walser maybe got a bit of stick on the boards and stuff for changing the Keith Lloyd Garside line, but you know, that line is firing on all cylinders. A fantastic line to watch.
A lot of energy in that line. It is really good. And I think that goal is a perfect example of what they can do. Just wrapping it up, the other point I want to make is the fact that maybe this Giants team have been guilty or accused of not playing a full 60 minutes, and you can't accuse them of it in this game. This game went right to the wire, right to the last minute, Davey. And even with, you know, even on the power play, it was still, you know, Brown had to go back into net. And in comes Lloyd with the winner.
Yeah, and it was a lovely power play goal too, because Adepam and Walser dominated the points. Shields was down low and they pass, yeah. And the puck went across to Benedict and he made a lovely, lovely, lovely move and got it back across to Walser. And Walser was able to get it across to Benny, or to Higgy, who gets it on the loiter. And a lovely, lovely power play goal. It's what we needed, 1-for-2 on the power play. haven't been scoring as many power play goals as we probably would have liked over the last while, but we got a bit of an opportunity there to get properly set up in a zone against a team that weren't, you know, at that stage of the game, they hadn't thrown it completely in, but the Giants were able to move the puck around a bit there and get a couple of quality scoring opportunities. And Brian did well, and that's for Fife. Let's make, you know, he stopped a lot of what went at him, and he didn't get an awful lot of help from his D-men at times through the game, but he had a pretty good game, and a pretty good game on Sunday as well.
The highlights from this game, which include a full rendition of O'Flaher of Scotland at the beginning, and them making a point of showing Matt Nickerson's penalty, are available from Flyers TV. You know, whatever, if that's what you see the highlights are, lads, then more power to you. On Sunday, it was the Fife Flyers once again, this time at the SSE Arena, once again in Challenge Cup competition. The Giants, another victory, another three goals, this time 3-2. The Giants goals, two for Raja and one for Peacock, while the Flyers goals came from Ryu and Fox. Now, Aaron, as David says, you know, on this Sunday, maybe a bit of momentum was lost, but you have to say those first two goals. Raja, two goals in this game himself. We've said it a couple of times, he's a goal machine at the minute.
He's playing unbelievable hockey at the minute. I think it's as good a run as I've seen from a Giants player in a long time. You know, and he's really taken the game to the opposition and putting us in positions to win games. Some other guys have maybe gone a bit off the boil. You know, we've had the likes of, you know, Mike Forney scoring a few, Benny scoring a few and whatever, but it's nice to see that someone else is picking it up, and it just shows the depth that we have on the side, that, you know, we're not having to rely on one guy, especially when the likes of Higgins are out injured.
Mm. And Davey, that opening goal from Raja, high press and line, interception from Benedict, and then Raja shoots from the slot that goes five-fold off the inner left pad of Brown. You know, Brown doesn't want to be beaten from there, but you all credit to the Giants with that aggressive forward check.
No, that line, as we discussed there on the Saturday night, done very well with Forney being out and Higgy coming into it. And Raja took his time whenever he got the opportunity in front and picked a spot very well. You know, 12 goals for us now. And what was, you know, he missed the first six games of the season. And he took a few weeks to get going as well. So it just tells you, obviously, how quickly from he got into his stride, he's really been racking the points up. 12 goals, and I would say it took him three or four games to get a goal. So, you know, 12 goals and probably something similar amount of games. He's a talented hockey player. He's good down low. He's very good in the tight turns, and he makes a lot of space for his line mates as well. And, you know, he knows where the back of the net is. So that can only be a good thing going forward here for us.
On that, it's the game-winning goal with Brandon Benedict, where it's Raja with the tip up the boards. He brings it in and puts it to Brandon Benedict, who stops, lets the Fife Flyers D skip by before just finding Raja, and Raja just has to put it in the back of the net. And it's that sort of fluent hockey that it's great to see, but it's just highly entertaining.
Well, we spoke to Benny last week about, you know, Derek Walser's already said he doesn't see him going out of the lineup. When he's playing like that, you can't even consider him being the guy that's going to set up. You know, this weekend, Derek Walser's got the situation where he's got the situation. he's got a situation where he's got the leave and import out this weekend. And it can't be Brandon Benedict. I mean, I was reading your agenda there, Paddy. It reads like the script of Top Gun there. I'll hit the brakes and they'll fly right by. And, and that's exactly what Benny did. And the Fife guy goes to the ice, unfortunately commits himself. And Raj is able to pick the bottom corner of the net out and seal the win for us. And that was a stage where we were really, really shaky. And the top players come to, you know, the cream rises to the top when you need them. And Benny's fed Raja there, and they've gone and won the game for us.
Aaron, I want to give some credit to Fife, as David had mentioned about the fact that they'd come back into the game. And one of the real standout moments. Now, we give a lot of credit the other week to Derek Walser for a lovely backhand sauce pass that led to a breakaway and a goal. Ryan Dingle did exactly the same for Fife's first goal on Ryu. Ryu had scored it, but Dingle's backhand pass just over the stick and it's in the back of the net past Stephen Murphy.
Yeah, it was a fantastic pass, and it was a brilliant finish as well. You know, he gets in alone on Murphy and puts it up into the roof of the net, and I think it was shorthanded as well, which is, you know, a bit of the momentum turner. And as Davey mentioned earlier, it just seemed to rattle us. And then all of a sudden we're spiraling a wee bit out of control and they're right back in the games. And, Yeah, you know, it's moments like that that you go to watch the game for. Unfortunately, you don't really like it when it happened against you.
I'm going to bring up the an interesting incident now that I know David's got a bit of a beef about. But towards the end of the game, in the third period, about 15 minutes through the third period, Daryl Lloyd was assessed an interference minor and then subject to a match penalty for abusive official. However, at the time he was assessed a game penalty. That's subsequently been upgraded to a match penalty. There was a bit of an incident where he ended up, let's say a man-to-man push with one of the linesmen. There was Andy Dalton. That's now been upgraded. He's been assessed a match. Davey, your thoughts on that?
I can only imagine that the match penalty is for what he has said rather than what was nothing more than really a swat at Andy Dalton's a big lad, no shrinking violet. He'd be able to look after himself in that situation. And the linesmen, if they put themselves into those physical, you know, their job is to escort people to the penalty box. Lloyder obviously felt that whoever he got tangled up with took a bit of a dive and he was taking a bit of umbrage with it, having a bit of a go at him. And Andy Dalton's put his hands on Lloyd quite physically, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's a physical sport and he's a big man and Lloyder swatted him off. I can't imagine that is what the match penalty is for. Lloyder must have said something because if the game has gone so soft, now you can't put your hands on the officials. Agree completely. You have to respect the officials.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the Mitch Gantz.
It has to go both ways. Stanleyforth earlier in the season, mm-hmm. shoving Gantz, as far as we know, no action taken. Dalton putting his hands on Lloyd in an aggressive manner. I wouldn't expect any action to be taken, but then I wouldn't expect action to be taken for that against Daryl Lloyd. If Daryl Lloyd has said something or gesticulated or whatever at Hogarth and Dalton, fair enough. And Lloyd will take that on the chin and take his medicine, and you'll have to sit out the game on Sunday against the Storm. It's a match penalty. One game got banned, can't be appealed. So, unfortunately, he's going to miss out on Sunday, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the actual physical altercation both ways was wrong from both players, but there were from player and linesman, but nothing really in it. And I'm trying not to be one eyed there and go, if that was any other player in any other, you know, team, I would be saying the same thing, I think.
It is one of the many automatic assessments being done by DOPS this week. It is just a Belfast match penalty for abuse of official. Aaron, we talked about the guards that Davey brought up there, the Mitch Gantz, Paul Staniforth incident. In this case, you know, obviously Lloyd's upset at the interference call, maybe didn't feel it was warranted, and off he goes.
You know, we've seen it before. I suspect we'll see it again from him. It's the way he plays. He plays on the edge, and when you're playing on the edge, you're going to get yourself into these situations. And I think it's something we have to maybe just live with.
Well, the Giants have topped the group. They will face the Manchester Storm in the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup. Job done, Davey?
Yes, going into the weekend, actually the weekend before, we thought probably one win would have done it. It turned out that we needed 3 points and very professionally taken. I think when we're 2-0 up on the Sunday, it was about managing the game and playing a good forechecking game. Unfortunately, we left 5 back in, but at that stage, even at 2-each, it was a case of get the OT here. We've got the 3 points. We're top of the group because, you know, when you look at the other teams, you'd have wanted to try and get Manchester. And I know maybe coach is listening and that's not supposed to be disparaging, but, you know, he would say the same from our position that you'd be trying to get Manchester in the next phase of the competition. So, that'll probably happen sometime in the week before the playoffs or something. Who knows with the Challenge Cup.
I'm sure it would be May. But yeah, great performance over the weekend from the Belfast Giants, Aaron, and, you know, more of the same, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, as we said, that game from the Saturday night really needs to be the blueprint for what we do going ahead. And let's hope that we'll go into this weekend and we'll put a marker down against our quarterfinal opponents in the Challenge Cup now,
yes,
as well.
Absolutely. More of that later. The highlights of this game, of course, are available from Belfast Giants TV. We've got a batter ahead, lads, because we've got a hell of a lot to cover around the league time. And, we mentioned there's a lot of stuff from DOPS. The Daryl Lloyd is already down as being an automatic assessment. They're all automatic assessments. There's no reviews or no requests for reviews this week. Nottingham Panthers' Brian Schmidt, 2 plus 10 for checking from behind, as is David Clark of the Panthers, 5 plus game for checking from behind, and a feisty one up in Edinburgh. The Manchester Storm's Matt Carrier, checking from behind, and the Manchester Storm's Davey Phillips, 2 plus 10 checking to the head. Another that's one that could have a real outcome on our own game this Sunday. And we'll see
what Phillips, has Phillips had a check into the head before this season as well, I think so.
I'm not sure. I think so. He has certainly had something. Then, well, I'll be making him a repeat offender. If he's assessed with it, we'll see in the next day or so. One of the other incidents, the Elite League, made a statement with regards to video technology. It was tested on Saturday night during Cardiff Devils game against the Sheffield Steelers to review an incident. It was to review a goal. The referee had decided no goal on the play. Play had went on, and at the next break they went off and they assessed, and it was upheld as no goal. Now, this is the first real time in league play that video assessment has been used. Davey, this is an interesting one because it has to be standard at all rinks. You can't just have it at one.
Was the statement made before or after the game?
That's a very good point. The statement was made on November 21st. It did say the statement does say video technology was tested.
Yeah.
So that's
released, as far as I was aware, it was released after.
All right. Well, anyway, that's me being a little facetious there. Obviously, a statement by the chairman of the Elite League after his club has used it comes as no surprise to me. However, I do believe if it's there and available, it doesn't matter to me that it's not available in every rink. It should be. But, when you look at the quality coming out of Edinburgh, and there's no real excuse for it other than financial. You know, it's like a movie you'd have watched 30 years ago on a 50 times used VHS tape. It's just absolute garbage. And if the video technology is there, as I say, I believe it should be used. It were better to get the right results there and then on the night than have the talking point of should have been a goal. We're coming talking about it on a Tuesday night, and those points could be the points that lose you the league. Do you think it's a very, very difficult call? I know where you're coming from, that all games should be the same, but unless people start investing in it, it's not going to happen.
And we were lucky enough to be in Berlin at the weekend to watch a couple of games. And in both of those games, there was a video assessment. But what caught our eye, if you remember rightly, is the fact that there was, in both cases, quite a few minutes had passed between the actual puck merely might possibly going in and the referees going off the ice. In one case, it was like 4 or 5 minutes. So you could have the game being pulled back because of it.
Yeah, well, the one, especially I think the first game, it was at, if I remember rightly, the score was maybe at 3-2, and the goal would have made it 3-all, or 4-2, and the goal would have made it 4-3. And as you say, it was a power play. Berlin had a power play. Puck hit the post and came back out. Referee signaled more or less straight away that he was going to a video review to one of the Berlin players, I think it was, on the ice, and maybe one of the opposition players. But the game went on for, it was 4 minutes of play. It wasn't as if it was 4 minutes of normal time. It was 4 minutes of play. Mm-hmm. In which case the referees went off and watched, and they stuck with their original call. But it was, it was a massive call in that situation with about 10 minutes of the game left. Had it been, had it brought the game back to 4-3 with 10 minutes to go, it's a big momentum change. So, but they got the call right on the ice and it backed them up. But it just shows that there are other aspects to think of it as well. Should they blow the game dead as soon as the incident happens? I don't know. But yeah, it was interesting. And I know what Davey's saying as well. I think that if the Elite League had said in advance that they were going to do this, I don't think there'd have been any issues. The fact that they've done it and then said, oh, by the way, it's frustrating.
I'm fairly certain that video technology has been used in
playoffs.
Sheffield. No, I'm pretty sure it's been used in Sheffield before, because I remember Tom Darnell coming out and doing a video.
Oh yeah,
interview with. I'm pretty sure it was something to do with a goal, and the same sort of thing happened. Play advanced, and they went back and checked it or whatever, and it showed that it was good, or it was bad, and they had to go back and replay the couple of minutes of the game. But I'm pretty sure on two or three occasions previously, video technology has been used. I'm not sure if it's always been in Sheffield, but they do seem to have the highest def cameras and the ability to look at things quickly afterwards, you know, more than anybody else. So at least they have invested in the technology. We'll give them one tick there in their box. But, you know, it's, for me, yeah, let's get it set up right across league wide. You know, the investment has to be made for, you know, Seth, you heard Seth doing an interview a number of weeks ago there. I can't remember who was it, asked him about the potential for an NHL style, you know, game center. They said until all the arenas and all the rinks have the technology in place, you know, just to do good quality recordings. First of all, there'd be nothing like that. So let's get the technology in. Let's make the investment. It's, you know, it's going to have to be something that's going to have to come from a centralized fund, if there is one. You know, Belfast are getting 4,000 people, you know, Sheffield are getting 4,000, Panthers are getting, you know, whatever they're getting, and they're recording the games, but they're not putting them out in a webcast. These guys have the money to invest in the infrastructure. Edinburgh are getting 600, 700, 800 people in. At the minute, they have to address that to get more people into their barn before they worry about, you know, improving their cameras, spending thousands of pounds. I remember, like, talking to Ronan years ago or Dave lately about, you know, just getting even the replays on the Giants live TV and how much of an investment that was going to take. You know, that's only something that's came on at our club, and we've been leading the way in webcasting for years. And that's only something that came on recently for us as replays. All this stuff is mega expensive to get it if you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
And I suppose the likes of Dave, who is at the cutting edge of this, he's only going to do it if he's going to do it right. He's not going to do it half-assed, and more credit to him for doing that. So the money has to be made available to everybody. But yes, do it if you've got it.
I do have to agree with the fact that, you know, testing it, I have no issue with that. We do have to test these things. They have to be done right, and we have to find a means to... We have to find a means to standardize it. I just feel it has to be standardized if you're going to roll it out. But we'll see how far they go with this. And I have to say, Aaron, I'm glad you remember that incident in Berlin just as detailed as I remember it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
sticking with the Sheffield Steelers, we talked about angry Paul Thompson last week in the interview he did with the Sheffield Star that was eventually pulled. Post-game and their loss to the Devils on Saturday night, there was a 3 to 4 minute angry interview with Dave Sims on the Sheffield Steelers' own site where Thompson laid into the attitude and the performance of his players. Davey, he went off on one.
Yes, he wasn't a happy camper, and, you know, sometimes the coach has to... It's good for him to rip into the team publicly, and sometimes it's not, and there's a line there, I suppose, that it's a very delicate line that has to be crossed, and I suppose what... The way Tomo would look at it, perhaps, is that he got the reaction that he wanted from his players, although they got beat the following night again by Bray Head. In his interviews afterwards with Seth, he's very clear that, you know, he felt they deserved a win and he got a much, much improved performance from them. But, you know, on the road, they're not a team that's in good shape at the minute. And saying that, Cardiff is not an easy place to go, but, you know, I haven't seen that game. But the way Tomo talks about it, and when Tomo talks, someone with the stature in British hockey, Paul Thompson, you believe what he says, and if he's criticising his team to that extent, they must have been poor. Mm. And now, there's also the thing, you know, give yourself 5 or 10 minutes to calm down before you get a microphone put under your nose. That's another thing from Sheffield that they could maybe learn from this whole thing. But, you know, it didn't come across brilliantly from an organisation point of view, but he got his message across to his players. They needed that kick up the backside, and they got it, and he seems to have got a reaction from them.
This came after, Aaron, that Mike Duggo had been released prior to that weekend, and they've subsequently brought in a former Calder Cup winner in Guillaume Debain. It wasn't a great weekend for them. You know, they went on to lose Brayhead at Sheffield, and a much disputed by the Steelers official PR. You know, it's a subject that we love here, of course. But the Steelers, as Davey says, not in good shape away from home, and they're off to the NIC this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny because it seems to be a bit of a trend around the league that teams are incredibly strong at home, but are struggling away. You know, you look at, you mentioned Cardiff there. I don't think they've lost a game at home. It'll be interesting to see how that goes when they move home in a few weeks' time. But, you know, Edinburgh, I think Edinburgh haven't lost a game at home yet. Nottingham lost to us in overtime, and I think have won every game at home since. Ourselves, we've been pretty strong at home, bar one or two little glitches. So, yeah, it's an interesting trend, I think, that's shown around the league this year.
Dundee have beat Cardiff in the DIA in a 5-4 thriller. Bobby Chaumont was the hero there. While the Blaze went down 5-3 losers to the Storm in the Sky Dome. And Davey, since then, they've released Ned Lukasiewicz.
Lukasiewicz, but that will let
you know. No, I've been told it's Lukasiewicz. That's why I went for that. We've said Lukasiewicz for as long as he's been in the league, but I've recently been told it's actually Lukasiewicz.
Right, we'll have to talk to him about that because I went to school with the Lukasiewicz and that's how it's spelled, but not to worry. Also went to school with Dugovic. It must have been like a connection from Eastern Europe coming over to Northern Ireland in the early 80s, but we digress. Disappointing for him because he's a big guy that I admire a lot. I like watching him playing, but things are not well. We talk about things not being well in Sheffield. Things are not well in Coventry and they are not getting better anytime soon by the looks of things. You know, you look at the release Chris Lawrence and now release Lukasiewicz. There's a lot of talk about their goalie going. You know, it's just, you can't see where it's going to clear for Weber here at the minute. And sometimes players can get coached to sack because, and it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, will that organisation stick with the coach and let him work through this? Can they gas the season already? You know, like Coventry are going to do well to do anything from the position they're in. They're out of the Challenge Cup. I think, are they rock bottom of the league?
Yep.
And, you know, fair enough, the only way is up. But at the same time, when you're down there, it's very hard to get yourself picked up.
I think it's interesting that I believe their record is worse now than it was, you know, worse at this stage of the year than it was last year when they made the change to bring Weber in.
I find it a very, very strange situation down there. I don't get how you can be a team that do pick up a playoff title and fight as well. You have one of the best, inverted commas, netminders in the league and a coach who was able to come into a team that were in a difficult situation and turn them into championship winners. And now he's filled a team that maybe a lot of people have said he filled it full of players that were maybe really good in the Gardner Conference a year ago and haven't been able to do with the step up. So surely I'd like to think that he's the type of guy who has the nuance on how to fix it. But at this moment in time, it doesn't seem like that's the case.
Well, you know, with the likes of Jordan Pietras coming on later on the show to talk about his days at Brown University, and I never spoke to him at all about Coventry, you know. But you look at Ned Lukasiewicz, and it could be one of those things again. We talked about Chris Lawrence and perhaps money and, you know, maybe some of the higher earners. But, you know, Lukasiewicz, as you call him, 13 points through 21 games. Big Ned. Jordan Pietras, 6 points, you know, through the start of the season. Russ Kiley, 7 points. You know, all the wingers. Tanaka, 8 points.
I think about at least 3/4 of those points came in one game against us as well.
So, you know, there's players there that points make prizes. Points don't mean everything, of course. You know, there's the whole all-round game and what they're doing on the ice, off the ice, what they're doing at training. All that sort of thing has to be taken into place. But, you know, Big Ned, as we'll call him now, has produced, he's only 2 points off leading the team in points. And he's one of the ones that gets gassed. Chris Lawrence obviously had a terrible, terrible time at the Blaze, but went on to Sheffield and had a 2 or 3 week renaissance there, you know, so good players. Bob Sachs obviously came in and sucked as well as he sucked in Manchester, but, and he's gone. So, you know, it's a bit of a revolving door policy there. Coventry have been a club in decline since Paul Thompson left, even though they won the playoffs last year. I'm going to say it's not a very hard competition to win the playoffs. You know, you find over the last lot of years, the teams that have won the league and have been the teams to beat, just and use the Doug Christian's term, the collective exhale, haven't been able to go on and keep that momentum going for the last couple of weeks. And somebody from down in the lower ends of the leagues or the also rans have came up and won the playoffs. You know, it's something that Weber and the likes of Kiley and the guys down there will be absolutely pulling their hair out to try and resolve, but it just doesn't look like it's turning around for them.
No. The Nottingham Panthers signed a new Canadian defenseman in Kyle Hardie before going up to take on the Edinburgh Capitals and split the points there this weekend. The Panthers winning 3-2 on the Friday, the Caps winning 5-3 on the Saturday. But I say Panthers have a tough weekend ahead. They're in Cardiff on Saturday. I say before hosting the Steelers on Sunday, but then again, the Steelers aren't doing very well on the road. Coming up, we'll be discussing the fan agenda and looking ahead to the weekend's only game for the Belfast Giants against the Manchester Storm. But now, with the NCAA Friendship 4 tournament only days away, we turn our attention to the final team in our previews. And this week, that is Brown University.
Brown University is located in Providence, Rhode Island, and was founded in 1764, making it the seventh oldest university in the United States. Hockey at Brown University can be traced back as far as 1898, where it evolved from ice polo, a game played informally between colleges in the Northeast USA. Brown faced off against Harvard and Franklin Field in Boston in 1898 in what was the first recorded game of intercollegiate hockey in the United States. Brown won that game 6-0, having taken only a goalie and five skaters with them for the fixture. Brown have enjoyed some success over the years, but perhaps less than would be expected of one of the oldest hockey programs in the country. Brown qualified for the NCAA tournament and NCAA Frozen Four on three occasions in 1951, 65 and 76, and a further NCAA tournament appearance came in 1993. The 1965 Frozen Four tournament was held in Brown's Meehan Auditorium, the rink to which they moved in 1961 and where they remain to this day, playing in front of capacity crowds of 3,100. At times, Brown's successes have been fewer and further between. Over the last 10 completed seasons, the Bears have claimed a winning seat record in only one season, which was in 2012-13 when they finished with 16 wins, 14 losses and 6 draws. Former Bears defenseman Bretton Whittet is now into his seventh season in charge of Brown. After graduating in 1994, Whittet took on a role as an assistant coach with the Bears before departing for Dartmouth College, where he took over as assistant coach for 11 seasons in 1998. The allure of returning to his alma mater brought him back in 2009 to replace Roger Grillo, who had managed only 5 wins from 33 games the previous season. Last season, Brown claimed an 8-20-3 record, but this falls far short of their worst season in their history, which occurred in 1960 and 61, where they went 0-20-0 under the stewardship of James H. Fullerton. This season so far, the Bears have claimed just 1 win from 7 games, scoring 16 goals and conceding 26. Prior to making the trip to Belfast last weekend, they faced Cornell, who defeated them 1-0, and Colgate, who they play this Friday in the opening game of the Friendship 4. That game finished 1-1 after overtime, leaving neither side with bragging rights. The current Brown roster contains several drafted NHL players. These include Tyler Bird, who's with the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sam Lafferty, who's with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Max Willman of the Buffalo Sabres. Another player to watch on the current roster is forward Nick Lapin. Lapin leads the team in scoring with 8 points so far this season and has claimed 81 points in 99 previous NCAA games for Brown. You can listen to him speak to Simon Kitchen later. There are currently 3 Brown alumni playing in the NHL. Aaron Volpatti, who sits up for the Washington Capitals, Bobby Farnham of the New Jersey Devils, and perhaps most recognisable of all is Ryan Garbutt, a former Dallas Star who now dresses for the Chicago Blackhawks after being included as part of a trade involving Patrick Sharp. Of course, the captain of Brown during Whittet's first season as coach was the current Coventry Blaze forward Jordan Pietras, and Davey caught up with him earlier today.
Delighted to be joined this evening by Coventry Blaze winger, but more importantly, in our last focus week before the NCAA weekend, former Brown University captain Jordan Pietras. And Jordan, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jordan, with the NCAA weekend just coming up, as I said, we're focusing on Brown University this weekend. It was somewhere that you managed to spend 4 years of your collegiate career. Was it something when you were at Cedar Rapids that you were looking to get into that particular university, or how did this opportunity come along?
Well, it was the opportunity came along as a bit of a twist of fate, actually. My junior career in Cedar Rapids was almost over. And I didn't have a place to go yet. I was thinking about walking on at a couple different NCAA schools. And, as it turned out, one of the recruits for Brown wasn't able to get in through the admissions process and late in their recruiting, timeline. They had an opening and I was still available, and, the assistant coach came out to watch me play, and I actually had a pretty good game. And things moved quick from there. They decided they liked me, and extended an offer to me. And I had to talk to my coach and some people I was familiar with because I didn't really know too much about Brown, and they all felt like it was a no-brainer for me to go, and they couldn't have been more right.
Through your whole career, Brian, I've been doing a little bit of research on you when Paddy asked me to have a chat to you today. Through your whole career at Brown, you sort of were one of the standout guys in terms of leadership, and in your the year before your senior year, you actually done a little bit of work away from the hockey rink, raising money for American Cancer Society. Was that something that just happened because you were in the athletic sort of domain, that you were something that you wanted to get involved in? You became the team captain there, and that obviously then gave you the springboard to go on to be the captain of the hockey team.
Yeah, Brown's a really diverse place. It's in a great city in Providence, Rhode Island. It's a small town. And the Brown Athletic Department does a great job of giving back to the community. So when I was an underclassman, my first 2 years at school, there was the older guys, the third and fourth year players, were involved in programs in giving back to the community. And I ended up getting involved in that, because they encouraged the athletic department, the coaching staff, all encouraged and other players encouraged us to get involved in programs that the school offers, to get involved in the community, not just be a hockey player, not just be a student in your chosen concentration, but be a well-rounded person. So I started, that's where it started out. And then as my collegiate career went on, I just started really enjoying it, and I felt like we as hockey players had a bit of a platform to stand on and to make an impact in the community. And that was just really exciting to be a part of. So the more I did it, the more I wanted to get involved, and the more things I wanted to do. So the longer I was there, the more people I'd met, and the more connections I was able to make. So it became a little bit easier to get involved because I just knew more people. And again, the hockey program and the Brown Athletic Department were just great resources and amazing at supporting people that wanted to get involved in the community. So that's kind of how it started, and it was, you know, very, very rewarding to be able to do things like that.
And then I suppose the culmination of your career, your senior year, your name captain, great honor of the team, and unfortunately you go down with a bit of an injury sort of during the season, but you managed to come back for the championship, third place championship game. But during that season, you were named the Derek Hines Unsung Hero Award, somebody that was, you know, a big name around the campus, unfortunately killed in action in Afghanistan, but must have been very, very honored to, you know, receive an award in his name.
Yeah. You know, that was something that I really was unaware of until the nominations came out. It's a national award, and I didn't realize the scale of the award, that every team in the NCAA submits a player that they feel is worthy of the award, and then there's a pretty rigorous selection process. And you know, Derek Hines went to West Point, and obviously just was a tremendous leader. And you know, I got a chance to speak with his parents, and especially after that, it was just really emotional for me to be honored and recognized under Derek's name. I mean, it's just an incredible young man, and obviously, you know, he gave the ultimate sacrifice in battle in Afghanistan. So, you know, something that's very, very special to me, and, you know, very humbling, and it was just a huge honor to receive that award in my last year at school.
We'll come back to your Brown days before we finish the chat, but you then went on to a few years in the ECHL, mostly with Almere, and then obviously on the Sanach and Poland, which I think you probably turned out against us in the continent in Belfast here in the Continental Cup last year, the year before. Was that something you wanted to take the move to Europe as has come into the UK, just being the natural step after Poland? Are you looking to get back to the North America, or what's the future for you?
The future's tough to to say. I think you got to be careful in the hockey world of trying to predict the future because it changes so fast. Playing overseas in Europe is something that I always dreamt of ever since I was a kid, ever since that I figured out that people traveled the world and played hockey. I thought that was something that was very interesting to me. And, you know, so for me to have an opportunity to do that for a second year in a row has been pretty exciting. In terms of the future, I'm not quite sure what the future holds for me. You know, hockey is an extremely competitive business, and every year it seems like there's more and more good players that are fighting for the same amount of jobs. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, hopefully at the end of this season I will be fortunate enough to have some opportunities. But you never know what life throws at you. And so I just take it one day at a time here.
Well, let's talking of opportunities, then we'll go back to Belfast this weekend, the NCAA weekend, UMass Lowell, Northeastern, Colgate, and your own old school, Brian, come to Belfast to compete for the Bell Pot. First and foremost, to compete for NCAA points in regular season games, but then the championship game on Saturday afternoon. Just how big an opportunity is this for these guys, just to get across to Europe, get a bit more life experience, and get involved in playing hockey in Belfast?
Oh, it's what an opportunity. I'm jealous of the guys. I never had an opportunity like that to travel overseas when I was at school. So for not only the guys at Brown, for the guys at all four schools, it is it's an amazing opportunity for them to travel, to see the world, and also to compete and compete in front of a great crowd. You guys have a great building there in Belfast. You got great fans, so you know, it's just a tremendous opportunity. And I'm sure the teams are going to have some activities planned for the guys away from the rink to kind of get a taste of the culture over here. And again, it, kind of what I was talking about earlier, you know, when you're playing hockey at school, it's not just about being a hockey player. It's about being a well-rounded person, and I think this really provides guys with an opportunity to do that.
We have been fortunate over the last 4 weeks. We've been one university at a time, and this is Brian in our final week, as we've already said. And each individual that we spoke to from the universities, we've asked them the same question. If you could go back and give some just little tip or some information to the guys that are going to play for Brown University now, what would it be?
Oh. You know what, I probably have to tell them to really embrace every day and just understand how special it is, because it goes by really fast, and when you leave, you'll always miss it. It's a place that holds a very special place in my heart, and I definitely would love to go back. Met a ton of great people. I met my wife there. And, you know, so it's just, when you're in it, sometimes you get caught up in the day-to-day frustrations and the grind of school. But it is the time of your life, and you just really have to embrace it and live each moment to the fullest.
Well, from the former captain to all the players, that's some very salient advice. And Jordan, well, thank you very much for joining us tonight once again.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks to Jordan for his time. Yeah, well, obviously we're going to stick with the NCAA tournament because it's only a couple of days away. And a few interviews more. We've got a wealth of stuff over the next, say, 20 minutes or so. In a moment, we're going to hear from Rhonda McClure, who is a NCAA writer for thepinkpuck.com. But before that, one of the project managers, or the main project manager behind what we're about to witness at this weekend, is a Belfast Giants legend that I caught up with earlier on today. Well, it's only a few days until the Friendship for Bell Pot Trophy at the SSE Arena. I'm delighted to be joined by a man who's been at the forefront of the project management of this mammoth task, but a lot of us know him a lot better as the man with the retired number 4 jersey at the end of the arena, and that is Shane Johnson. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Very excited for this forthcoming weekend. I'm sure it's taken up a hell of a lot of your time.
It has. It's been, it's taken a lot of time, but it's been well worth it. The teams are finally here, and they've been on the ice, so it's all coming together.
What's been going on the last couple of weeks? What sort of last minute things have you had to put into place?
Just a lot. I mean, we've got 150 people traveling over with the team, so everything from changing flights to booking and changing hotels to organizing timings of meals and tourist activities and practice schedules to, you know, making sure we've got big crowds here, and it's been endless, really.
The investment from the city and the arena into this is quite apparent. You know, what are you expecting from the fans? You think they're going to get a great buy-in to what's going to happen this weekend?
Well, I mean, we've watched some, a few of us, Brandon Benedict's been watching Steve Ford, and we were in the stands watching some of the guys practice today, and, you know, we're just really impressed by, you know, the skill and the speed these guys have. I mean, we're used to watching the Giants, which is, you know, fantastic hockey, but, you know, all these players and these college teams, you know, some of them, you know, maybe going on to the NHL, others will be coming over to the Giants in a few years' time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really, really high-level play here.
As well, you said you've been watching on. You yourself came through this system at Boston before you started your storied career here in the UK. You know, having come through that NCAA system and seeing what you saw today, do you feel it's changed much from when you played alongside famous names like Steve Thornton and not so famous names like Chris Drury?
Not so famous names. Yeah, no, we were lucky. When I was in college with Boston University, you know, we had a tremendous team, and, you know, we had, you know, about 10 guys that went on to play in the NHL from that team. You know, Mike Greer, Chris Drury, Tom Pody, mm-hmm. Jay Pandolfo, you know, guys that played, you know, 500, 1,000 games in the NHL. So, you know, we know that the skill that they have in that league, and, you know, it's just great to see him here. I mean, I think hockey in general has changed from when we played. It was a lot more clutch and grab. It's a lot faster now with the clapdown on hooking and holding penalties. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how these teams react to playing. And I wouldn't say they've played in arenas this size before, but it wouldn't be the norm for the arenas they play in. They're usually a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to seeing how they adjust.
One thing talking to a lot of the guys about, you know, the standard that they play in is, and a lot of the pro guys bring up the fact they still wear face masks, and of course it has to be worn at that level, and because you're wearing a face mask you might take a bit more chances, you might go into plays a bit more, you might chase things down a bit more because you feel a bit more protected. Is that true?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I remember I played junior hockey before I went on to play college hockey, and in junior hockey I played 1 year with the half visor on, so not a full face mask, and so I was used to just if I was ever in trouble I just, you know, put my hands up to protect myself, and that would stop somebody from coming at me. My first week in training with the Boston University, I was steamrolled all week because, you know, I put my hands up to, you know, protect myself, and, you know, guys would just go right over top of you. Mm-hmm. So it took a while for me to adjust to that and get my whole self out of the way rather than just protect myself. So, I mean, these guys will go to the net hard. They'll because they've got a full cage on, they'll get in the dirty places. They'll finish all their checks. You know, they come with full rosters of four lines and six defensemen. So they'll have fresh bodies all the time thrown on the ice.
How's the buy-in from these teams been? Of course, it's the Friday's games are both for points, you know, and these guys are coming over here to a foreign rink in a foreign land to try to play for their team back at home. Do you feel some real anticipation there for them?
Yeah, I mean, they're excited to be here. I mean, you know, they're young guys. I mean, they've never been over here before. This is all very new to them, so they're excited to be here. You know, it's a bit of an adventure, so. They're excited to be here. They've seen the arena now. They're excited having looked at the arena. They know it's going to be a great place to play. We've talked about the crowds that we anticipate coming to the games, and they're really excited to play here.
Who is the standout team for you then, Shane? Who do you see on Saturday lifting that Bell Pot Trophy?
Well, I mean, it's really hard to say. You know, that's the thing with college hockey. On a given day, you know, anybody can beat anybody. If you were to go by the rankings, Lowell is ranked fourth in all of the all of the U.S. college teams right now. So they would have to be the favorite. But outside of that, it could really go to anybody.
And a few real Belfast connections there. We've spoke over the last couple of weeks, but with Jerry Keefe coming over, and then you've got the Bobby Robbins and Chris Forney connection at UMass Lowell. You're going to have fans coming in here, maybe not knowing very much about the teams themselves, but looking for a team to follow. And it'll be interesting to see who gets behind who.
Yeah, well, you know, part of that is we've got these university teams going out to the community in Belfast, going out to some schools, and some of these schools that will be coming as groups to the game. We've kind of identified a university for them to support. So the universities, regardless of these schools, telling them a little bit about themselves and asking them to root for them when they come watch the game on Friday.
Fantastic. Was it only a few days away? The last question to you, have you been able to enjoy it, or are you only going to be able to enjoy it once that first puck gets dropped?
I think I've been asked that question a few times. I think it's kind of like a wedding, you know, it's all that planning that goes into it that's not that fun, and the stress of getting it all organized, and when it's all over, you wish you could do it again. So, yeah, I think it'll be, by the time the whistle blows and the trophy's been presented, that's when I'll relax a little bit.
And for one more question about the Belfast Giants this season, while I have you on, you've obviously been this season sat next to Simon Kitchen doing the games on Giants TV. What's your take on how the Giants have been playing?
I think they've been good. I think, you know, the games we've watched, we don't think they've ever really been outplayed. I think it's maybe possibly a bit frustrating because, you know, we think, Simon and I both think that they can be that much better. They've maybe made games a little bit more difficult for themselves than they needed to. But no, I think they got a really strong team, and if they can, you know, eliminate some of the little mistakes that they're making, I think they'll go on a real long run.
And you enjoying the co-commentary with Sizz?
Oh, it's great to be with a pro like Sizz. I mean, he knows the business.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Shane, good luck this weekend. We know that you're a very busy man. We appreciate your time, and no doubt it will go very well.
Okay, thanks again, buddy.
Well, with the Friendship 4 Belpot tournament just around the corner, well, me, Davey, and Aaron aren't really qualified to talk about NCAA, so we thought we'd get somebody who is more than qualified. You might have been reading some of her stuff on the BelfastGiants.com website. There's also thepinkpuck.com, and it's Rhonda McClure, who's the managing editor of The Pink Puck. Thanks for joining us, Rhonda.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Just to give us a bit of a heads up on yourself, now your role within this side, The Pink Puck, it gives a women's perspective on hockey. It's a great website. I really encourage people to go check it out. Well, how did this come about?
Basically, it was the brainchild of our editor-in-chief, Winter Adams, who felt like there wasn't any real place for women who loved the sport to go and write about it. There's a lot of other sites where women are talking about how cute the players are and things like that. But there was nowhere for us to really share our analysis and our love of the sport. And so some of our writers are actually players in various teams, as well as myself. I don't play, but I take it from the analytical side of it. So we've got a range of people writing with different interests in the sport itself.
Do you think it's a real misconception with regards to women's perspective on sport? I know that a couple of seasons ago, one of our good friends, Laura Carland, wrote a long blog on the fact that maybe sometimes some lads come up and think, you know, she's only here to see the cute players. It's not really like that. There's a large community of women who are very interested in the sport.
Absolutely. You know, as a female, when I go to interview players, sometimes they look at me and think, oh, she's a chick. What does she know? And they quickly find out, no, she knows her hockey. And that's true across the board. I think there are more women who do actually study the sport than are given credit for. And so that's a misconception that we're trying to fight, obviously, just by putting it out there and showing what we can report. And it's, you know, slowly but surely we're making inroads into a number of the different leagues.
Fantastic. And of course, one of the things you cover on the Pink Puck is the NCAA, and that's why we're speaking to you this evening. The tournament coming up in a couple of weeks, let's just have a wee look at that. Sorry, a couple of weeks. The tournament coming up in a couple of days. It begins with a game, an ECAC game between Brown and Colgate. Now, this isn't the first time in the last couple of days that these two teams have played. They played last week.
Yes, actually, they had one of their tilts last Friday, and it was a very even tilt. It ended in a tie. And so, but what's really special about the first two games, both theirs and then the Northeastern and UMass Lowell game that will take place on Friday, is the fact that these are actually league games for them. There are points at stake for these teams back here in the States.
It is one of these things that it's, you know, it's quite unusual for this to happen. Of course, this is the first time. What do you think that means to the NCAA?
I think it's huge for the NCAA, both in the fact that the getting outside of the United States, people are starting to recognize that you can take that college route and still be a quality player, especially when I noticed that, you know, TSN was going to be broadcasting in Canada. That spoke volumes to me that even the Canadians are recognizing that it's not just their, you know, junior pros type approach, but that you can take that college level and get to the NHL and to the other elite leagues.
What do you think about the standard of the game? What should we be expecting? Because when we look at some of the teams, we've profiled a team every week over the last 3-4 weeks, and you see these guys coming through, and they've got a lot of these guys will go on to NHL level, and a lot of them are already associated. I look at like the Northeastern team, and they've got quite a few guys already associated with NHL teams in regards to draft picks. So yeah, it's a relatively high standard of the game.
It really is. They, you know, like you said, some of them already have been drafted, and have their various teams. Northeastern, you mentioned, has, among other people, Matt Benning, who is associated with the Boston Bruins. And so you have a number of them, Colgate and Brown have a couple each, in UMass Lowell as well. And so the fact that they're already drafted shows the level of prospect for them. And they attend camps in the summer with the various teams that have drafted them. So they already kind of have a clue as to what's expected of them going forward. And they work with the teams work with the colleges to ensure that their growth is along the lines of what the team wants when they're done with school.
The second game, the Hockey East game between Northeastern and UMass Lowell, it really looks like, in respect to that, the UMass Lowell are looking to be the stronger side in that matchup.
As much as I love Northeastern and I cover them the most, back here between those two schools, I think UMass Lowell definitely has the edge. Northeastern's having a tough year, and they're struggling on a number of levels, but they're also predominantly struggling in the goal. Their goalie, they lost their top goalie last year. He graduated. So they're having to, you know, groom a new one, and that can sometimes take a couple of years. So they're really struggling, unfortunately, this season. But, you know, sometimes a trip like this can turn a team around because they've bonded on shorter trips, but a major trip like this can prove huge.
It's very interesting that you say, you know, he graduated. That is obviously an aspect of the sport when it comes to the pros you don't get. You know, like players will move on, players will be bought out of contracts, but when it comes to the NCAA, it has to be remembered this is a college game. This is based around the fact that they have to go through their education, and then once that's complete, they will move on with their careers. And it's interesting that I've read through a couple of universities, Colgate in particular, seem to be one that they've already had a trip into Europe, and that could have them in good stead coming in for the weekend.
Yes, I think that's going to give them an edge as far as the travel goes, because they have experienced that trip through Italy and playing some of the European teams there. So they're a little familiar with maybe differences in the ice, the fact of the time changes and things like that that might give them the edge over maybe Brown in their game.
And then you say the second game has real ties to Belfast. When you look at Associate Coach Jerry Keefe with Northeastern, meanwhile at UMass Lowell, you've got Mike Forney's brother. Is it Chris Forney?
I believe it's Chris, yeah.
Chris Forney. And of course, the ties that Belfast had with Bobby Robbins, who went on to play for the Bruins. So it's that second game in particular is going to hold a real draw for the Belfast Giants fans attending at the weekend.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, it's obviously both games will be entertaining. Obviously, they don't drop the gloves like you do in the pros. They frown on that in the college level. But that doesn't mean these boys don't hit hard. And, you know, they, like I said, especially those Friday night games, there are points on the line and they all need their points. So,
and
who's going to bring it?
Who do you have as the big contender for the bell pot then? Who do you see on Saturday as lifting that trophy?
I got to tell you that I think it's going to be, in the final, I have a feeling it's going to be Colgate and UMass Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to choose between the two of them, I think UMass Lowell is going to take it.
And you're flying over? I know you're still back in the States now,
yes,
but you're making the trip?
I am back in the States. Yes, I'm back in the States. I'll fly over. I'm leaving tomorrow, so I'll get in to Belfast on Thursday. And looking forward to, you know, four great hockey games.
This is your first time in Europe?
Yeah, it's my first time in Belfast. I have been to other parts of Europe and seen hockey in other parts, but this will be my first time at Belfast, and I'm looking forward to, because the Belfast Giants are one of my favorites.
Well, that's what a way to finish. What a way to finish. Thanks, Rhonda. The
my pleasure.
With the people can follow you on Twitter?
They can. I am HockeyMaven1917.
And then, of course, we've got the pinkpuck.com, which is I've been reading through it today. Fantastic website. And I really recommend it. And safe travel. And maybe we'll see you at the weekend.
Okay, definitely. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Great to hear from Rhonda there. Well worth checking out the pinkpuck.com for that sort of different perspective on the game. And no doubt she'll be covering that all the way through this weekend. Also, this afternoon, our good friend Simon Kitchen was able to get down to the rink, check out some of the stuff that was going on, and got to chat with these three lads. First up, we're going to hear from Jason Guerrero, who's the assistant coach at Brown University. Next after him, Nick Lappin, who is the, I initially said Lapin, but, you know, too used to watching French Canadians, I guess. But Sis says Nick Lappin, so let's stick with that. Nick Lappin, who is the assistant captain at Brown. And finally, you got to catch up with our own Derek Welser, who gives his opinion on what training was like today and also looks ahead to this weekend's game against the Storm.
I'm joined by Brown University Hockey assistant coach Jason Guerrero. Jason, welcome to Belfast. Can we get your first thoughts on the SSA Arena?
It's beautiful. I mean, I actually played in Europe before, and I came into here and I was like, wow, I've never been in Ireland before, and I was really amazed that I hear that's going to be packed too. So everything's been great here. It's been really classy and people have been awesome.
Obviously it's been a long trip over and the guys have just had their first practice. How things go?
You know what? Actually, they went pretty well. I mean, the guys, they haven't slept yet, you know, and it's from the plane ride, but we told them just kind of stay up and then get a good night's sleep tonight. But they were pretty sharp. I give them credit, and they competed today in practice, and hopefully that can carry through the rest of the week.
Some big boys, a lot of energy, a lot of size, even after the long flight. Who should we be looking out for this weekend?
For us, we got a good rounded team. You know, we got some guys that are playing well right now. Lappin up front, number 28. He needs to continue to play well. And our goaltending's been pretty strong here and there. But, you know, we play a good team structured game and we're very detailed. And I think that's what's going to continue to our success. You know, I know we only have one win right now, but, you know, we're playing well and we're heading in the right direction. We just got to find a way to win some games.
You faced Colgate at the weekend. You had a 1-1 tie. Again, Colgate, from what we're being told, there's a lot of size, a lot of speed. What do you expect from this game on Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, one of their lines there, they got the Spink guys and the other kid on their line there. They could arguably be one of the best lines in our league, you know. So they bring a lot of energy. They're very skilled, smart hockey players. But, you know, nothing we're not aware of, and we know their tendencies. But it's going to be a really good game. I mean, obviously, the bigger ice sheet, too, is going to be a little bit of a challenge, maybe an adjustment for some of us. But they're a good team. I mean, we tied 1-1. I think the game could have went either way for both teams. So I think it'll be pretty exciting here at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
We're being told that the game is nearly sold out on Friday afternoon, and then Saturday as well. You know, hopefully you'll be in the 7 o'clock game on Saturday evening. What can the fans expect? Because we don't get this very often. This is the first time that a college hockey has hit Northern Ireland and Britain as a whole. What can we expect, and what sort of what should we look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing with college hockey, I mean, I played college hockey and obviously now coaching it. I mean, you're going to see a lot of intense at speed and pace. I mean, it's the guys go, go, go. I mean, sometimes it's almost like a little bit too much in a sense, but the compete level is really high. And then we have guys that, you know, we have NHL draft picks out here and guys that are going to play at the next level. So I'm not just saying it's going to be just compete and speed. There's a lot of offense and hockey sense out there too. But I'd say definitely the compete level and the urgency to win hockey games is going to be really high.
Jason, I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much and the best of luck this week.
Thank you so much.
I'm joined by Brown Bears assistant captain Nick Lappin just after training at the SSA Arena for the first time this week. Nick, welcome to Belfast. Obviously a long journey over. Are you looking forward to getting to work?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Got here this morning around 6 o'clock in the morning. Drove here from Dublin and got on the ice this afternoon. It feels good to get on the ice, get a sweat and probably just get some rest the rest of the day, get ready for the week.
Obviously, is this your first time to Northern Ireland? What sort of, I mean, we're a bit envious of what you guys have over in the USA with regards to the quality of hockey. What can we look forward to this week?
Yeah, this is definitely my first time in Northern Ireland. And for the hockey, you can look for a hard, fast-paced, pretty physical game. I know we've played Colgate before. They're a very skilled team. Northeastern, UMass Lowell playing Hockey East, that's usually a really fast league, similar with ours. It should be really good hockey all around, though. Should see some really good competition.
Who should we look out for from your team? Obviously yourself, from what we've been told, the scouting reports and yourself. Who else should we be looking out for the skill set?
Mark Nicolario's had a really good year so far. He's done well his whole college career. And Tim Ernst has been really good in net for us the start of this year. I mean, we expect him to be good as well the whole year, and he's been playing well the last few games, and expect him to be good this weekend as well.
Obviously, this is all aiming up till Friday, and you get your first game in Belfast for the Bell Pot on Friday at 4:05. You're playing Colgate. You've already touched on it. You've played them this week. What are you expecting from Colgate to bring to the table this weekend?
Yeah, they're a very good team. We played them on Friday. They're really skilled. They got a good power play, so we're going to try to stay out of the box. And I mean, we just expect a very competitive game. They work really hard. It should be fast-paced, and we're looking forward to it.
You're going to be in Belfast until Sunday. Have you anything else planned or anything else you want to do while you're here?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going on a couple tours we got planned. I'm pretty excited to see the whole landscape and yeah, just kind of see the culture around there. Like I said, I've never been to Northern Ireland. I'm excited to meet some people and see what it's like.
Nick, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck for the week, and thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been lucky enough to get an interview with the Belfast Giants head coach, Derek Walzer. Derek's been down watching the Brown University training session. Derek, what's your thoughts on the college guys coming in after a long flight?
Oh, man, their tempo and practice was unbelievable. You know, flying through the night, landing this morning, and getting on the ice, and they work. You know, they're all looking down the road in the future, both turning pro, and their work ethic is fantastic. Their tempo was good. People are going to be, who are fortunate to come and watch the games, are going to see a very fast tempo game and a very physical game.
Obviously, you know, you've just touched on it there. The fans in Belfast have never seen anything like this before. And we've talked to a couple of players and the assistant coach from Brown today. They're all saying the same thing. I can't wait for it. I'm sure you guys are all going to be watching as well. Is that right?
I plan on going to see as many games as I can. It's just it's a matter of conflict of interest with my wife and scheduling of things with kids and her job. But I'm hoping to catch two or three games for sure. And then, you know, I'm going to watch every practice as many as I can just to, you know, continue to learn and continue to see what new drills are out there.
I just was watching some of the drills myself, and the intensity and the energy that these guys have after, you know, a long night flight and maybe catch a few hours sleep and what have you. Coming into this weekend, we'll just talk about the Giants, touch on the Giants. Everything okay from the weekend, and you're looking forward to the match on Sunday, a good week of practice?
Yeah, we're going to work hard this week, and, you know, it's one of those things where we're finally healthy. We're going to have to make some adjustments, but I think in the long run, it's another game against Manchester, who we're going to meet up in the Challenge Cup too. So it's another game to play against them. And, you know, right now there's no easy matchup in the league. You're starting to see that now. Everyone's beating everyone. So we got to continue to find ways to win games and move back up the top of the standings.
Derek, listen, really appreciate your time. Thanks very much indeed for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Many thanks to the one and only Simon Kitchen for taking the time to do those last few interviews, and also to Rhonda and to Shane. Without doubt, Aaron, this is a big weekend for the organisation, the Belfast Giants and the SSE Arena, with regards to a hockey legacy within our city and what we're trying to create and what we're trying to breed with regards to hockey in our city. Bringing four teams over from the NCAA to play of this standard, it's fantastic.
It is, and it's something that it's actually kind of crept up a little bit. You know, I know we've been talking about it and whatever, but all of a sudden it's here. You know, I can't wait myself to see these games. You know, I've caught bits and pieces of NCAA. I remember, was it NASN showed the Frozen Four a few years back? Mm-hmm. I think there's been a few other games here and there on TV and stuff. So, you know, I've got an idea of what happens, and I know that there's a lot of draft picks and so on going now from the NCAA into the NHL, but I've never really looked at it in depth. And over the last lot of weeks, sort of preparing for this show and speaking to guys, you know, speaking to Mike Harder from Colgate a few weeks back and reading up on, you know, UMass Lowell, you know, it's really built my excitement for what we're going to see. I think it's going to be like nothing we've experienced before in Belfast. You know, we've seen NHL teams, we've seen a lot of elite league, we've seen the likes of the Ahern Trophy where we've got German teams and Swedish teams or whatever it was over, but I think this is going to be something pretty unique, and especially in the tournaments, you know, the tournament format, I think it's going to be really entertaining.
Davey, one of the things, I know it's one of the interests you, and one of the things we brought up with Shane Johnson there, is the fact that these are all kids who are wearing full face masks, and because of that, they go full pelt into everything. They feel a little bit more protected and maybe take a few more risks.
Yeah, it was one of the things that I think it was maybe Jeff Mason at the time when he took the facial injury, you know, and we talked to Colin Shields about it, and he said as well about, you know, guys feel a wee bit more invincible when they've got the face cage on, but you only need to go down and watch these guys in practice. You see some of the things that some of the little videos that Brixie tweeted up today, you know, these guys, even just in their drills and the warm up, are flat out faster than anything we've seen at the Odyssey before. You know, okay, we've had the Boston Bruins there, but they didn't play anywhere near 100% that they could have, you know, but this is something that I believe, and I know that we've been accused over the last number of weeks of maybe being too partisan, but we're a Belfast Giants podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe there's another organisation within the UK that could pull this off, that could have brought the Boston Bruins to Belfast or to their city and their rink, or brought an NCAA tournament. And these guys are playing for legit points, and then they're going to be playing for the Belpot on Sunday. Remember when Robert asked me, first of all, as Aaron said, it's crept up. It was the first day of the Ryder Cup way back, and he could have come down the Odyssey and talked to Marty Walsh. There was something going to be happening. When it got down, he explained this, I did on Robert, and Marty Wallace was even got a bit of stick, you know, when he went back to Boston. No, this will never happen. And it has happened, and they've pulled it off. So credit to everyone that's involved, Steve Thornton and Shane Johnson, project managing, all the guys, Benny and Brixie Glover, all those guys that have had a hand in this, and all the politicians that have bought into it, and the people that have sponsored it and helped get this together, and all the kids that are going to come in and get to see the hockey free, that are going to go and then pester their mums and dads to go and buy tickets for the Belfast Giants. There's a big picture, and we're looking to get our second ice pad. All the things that, you know, there's future of hockey in Belfast, and this is part of it. And this is only the first of the friendship force. This isn't it. You know, we're not bringing four and then waving them off and saying we're never going to see you again. We want this to happen year on year, or whatever we can do with it. And it's fantastic. It's going to be very, very high quality hockey. There's going to be players that play in the Odyssey on Friday and Saturday that will go on to the NHL, will go on to the AHL, will go on to very good leagues across Europe. And that's a fantastic opportunity for these guys to come across during their studies and see Europe and see our beautiful country. Because at the end of the day, we're all Ulster men here, and I cannot wait to get back on the flight tomorrow night. I'll be in the Odyssey on Thursday morning watching a bit of practice. We'll be periscoping things. We'll get interviews with people as we go along, and we'll try and get everybody that can't get down the Odyssey involved in it. I am really, really excited to get home.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to flying over on Friday. And like you say, keep an eye on the View from the Bridge Twitter and the Periscope and all that. We'll try to put out as much stuff. And the back of what you're saying there, mate, I think it's superb. Like I said, I don't see another organisation having the forethought at this moment in time to be able to do this sort of thing. Possibly Cardiff. I put a bit of faith in Todd Kellerman there. The fact that, you know, given the arena, you might see a bit more coming from the whole Cardiff side on it. But the amount of investment, the amount of talk with regards to the cities and bringing... You take into account in the last 5-6 years, we've had an NHL team and now 4 NCAA teams. and you haven't seen that elsewhere. Also, when it came to the Gardner Cup that took place of the AHL teams in Edinburgh, Belfast Giants involved there also. And it shows you the forethought, the investment and the buy-in that Belfast is having to the sport of ice hockey. That if you'd said this 15 years ago, when we were getting grief about it being a novelty and it would go, it's not going to last. But 15 years down the line, not only is it last, not only have we won multiple championships, but we're bringing over teams of young lads who may be going to the NHL, young lads who may be going on and doing, you know, great things with regards to the sport, young lads who might even come back and play for the Belfast Giants. And that's a great thing. And the amount of work being put in from the likes of Steve Thornton, Shane Johnson, you heard from heard earlier on, Shane Johnson saying that these lads aren't just here to play and then disappear. Over the next couple of days, these college teams are going into schools in Belfast. They're going around schools and they're saying, you know, come and follow us. Come and support our team. Come and support what we're doing. Come and see this sport. Come get interested. That'll benefit the Belfast Giants. That'll benefit the Elite League. And it develops, you know, it develops more of the sport within our country. And we're all very passionate about the sport in our country, in our team, in this league. And to see that the Giants are doing the hard yards to bring in this sort of a tournament, that I know for a fact that there's other teams within the Elite League who maybe have ridiculed it, which I think is incredible. But it's the fact that, you know, the Giants are that step ahead. And personally, I can't wait to Friday.
Hear, hear.
Here, here, and just that's to it. Put you here, just to put you guys on the spot. Do you want to predict the outcome?
Yes, I'm going to go for UMass Lowell. I think they're ranked number 4 in regards to NCAA hockey. They seem to have the best. They've got a record at the minute 9-1-3, which is head and shoulders above the other three. I could see it being. Rhonda McClure said it earlier on. I could see it being a UMass Lowell against Colgate final.
That would be the way I would go myself, I have to say. UMass Lowell, Colgate, UMass Lowell winning it, and
Chris Forney lifting it above his head as his brother watches on.
I really can't see anything but a UMass Lowell. I think Colgate would be smiling at the opportunity just to get into the final.
Well, and most of all, I'm looking for a real smackdown. No, that's really the penny just dropped with that. Unreal. That shows you I'm still trying to recover from Germany, where, you know, I can remember everything. Listen, a few things are going on this week regards to the NCAA legislation, but rather than get into it here, I'm going to point you to our good friend Rob McGregor, who's been on the show many a time, on his One Puck Short podcast. I always struggle saying that. One Puck Short podcast. We'll tweet it up. Where here he's going to have an in-depth analysis, and it's an absolutely superb show. So well worth subscribing to. And he'll be going into all the changes within the NCAA this week and in his own NCAA special. Also, if you're unable to get down to the game, if maybe you're not flying over, or if you're not, you know, you're just unable to get to the SSE, the plan is to webcast each game. I know that Mitch and the guys at Televideo were here with like high def multi-camera productions. We've got Seth Bennett and Aaron Murphy going to be doing the comms. Simon Kitchen's going to be involved there as well. But the best thing about it is it's going to be £20 all weekend, and that will include the Belfast Giants Manchester Storm game on Sunday. So that's 5 games for £20. And that's or if you don't want to do it that way, you can also pay for them individually at £8 a game. But for 5 games of top quality hockey at £20, this game is also going to be live on TSN1, NESN and Time Warner Sports in upstate New York, Davey. You know, it's the exposure for the Giants is phenomenal.
It's a pity they're not going to stay on Sunday and transport and, you know, put our game across the North America. But, you know, it's lovely that, you know, the Giants will be, you know, plenty of logos there down on the ice. Plenty of logos will be advertised on the show. So it's good that we're getting our name across there in North America. And, you know, I think when people talk about, you know, Elite League hockey across in North America, the Giants is one of the first things that comes to their tongue. And a lot of shirts around the NHL arenas, you know, you only have to see how many Giants fans go over there, and the Giants shirts are swapped with the NHL shirts and pictures and videos coming back from all these NHL rinks. And it's great that we're going to get more exposure, and it's great for our club and it's great for our city. And kudos to the people that had the bottle to go and do it at the start.
Just following on that, on Sunday afternoon, walking around the Mercedes-Benz Arena in Berlin, they're walking towards us, a fella, full Giants shirt, Giants hat, fella called Chris Smith, nice bloke, just visiting Berlin, all his Giants gear, went along to see the game, more representation for the club in different places, so fair play. Yep, good time we had. Right, let's move ahead, gents. It's time for the fan agenda. Will you ask your questions in association with our friends at Belfast Giants TV? What's irked you this week? What should we be talking about? And what have we missed? Tell us in the best question, of course. Get a free pass for the Belfast Giants TV webcast. I don't know if that's going to be the full 21. I'll just let you know that. It might just be for one game. What I am going to do is that there's been questions revolving around the same sort of topic. We've had Stephen Murray asking, you know, I hope you're going to discuss the amount of penalty minutes the Giants are getting during games, costing us in big games. Even Walser's at it in terms. Jacko as well, talking about Daryl Lloyd and maybe a lack of discipline costing us in games. So I'll start with yourself, Aaron. Regards to the discipline within the Belfast Giants, is it costing us in big games? Is Stephen Murray right?
Yeah, I think it has been. I don't think in big games. I think it's been costing us in every game. And I know that Coach Walser has certainly referred to it in post-game interviews on many occasions. I'm just looking even at the weekend, and the number of minor penalties that were taken is just crazy. Sunday there, you know, just counting down, you've 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minor penalties. You know, so you're giving up 7 opportunities for the Flyers to go on the power play. Now, they didn't score. You know, our penalty teams have helped out there. Equally, you know, at the same time, the Fife only gave up 3 penalties in the same game. And I think if you go across the season, I think you'd find that that's, a similar story. And no matter how good your special teams are, the more chances you give the opposition to get back into a game, yeah, it is going to cost you.
I think one of the points being put forward as well, Davey, I know Jacko brought up the fact of Daryl Lloyd and his ongoing Dops trouble. Adam McKenzie has a good point that he's only had 1 game banned so far this season, and I suppose for a wrong call.
Yeah, I don't think that Jacko's right there and what he's saying about Daryl Lloyd. I can see where he's come from, that he's a marked man because of the way he plays, and he plays on the edge, and he plays that reckless, sort of fast, aggressive game. It's his first suspension and probably talked his way into it as much. You know, that's one thing that we'll have to clamp down on. You know, we've taken 140 penalty minutes and misconducts already this season. You know, slashing, you were talking about slashing there. We've played 25 games. We've taken 26 slashing minors. You know, wee things that people were talking about on the boards there about the slash and the hook and all these penalties you take 200 feet from your own goal. You know, penalties that you shouldn't take, and we're taking them at bad times a game, and it's almost got into a habit, and it's just breaking that cycle and getting out of it. And that has to come. That'll be led by Derek Walser. Walser will be the one that wants to be the squeaky clean guy on the team, because it's very, very hard for a player coach to ball somebody out when you've boarded somebody yourself. What are you doing? You're boarding, blah, blah. Well, you did it, coach, you know. So he has to be the one that pulls this team up by the bootstraps and says, you know, this can't go on anymore. We have to change. And we do have to change. And if we change, we've already shown that we've got a very, very good team that is capable of doing real damage in this league. But this is one Achilles heel that we have, is we are not winning the penalty battle often enough in games. I haven't gone through all the sheets to see how many games we've actually, you know, balanced out on penalties. But I'd say a vast majority of our games this season, we have lost the penalty fight.
It's well, you say that about Derek Walser, and it was, I could see firsthand that doubleheader in Sheffield where he had that 2-game suspension, exactly how much it was winding him up, not being able to be on the ice and have a direct input as to what's going on, because let's be fair, he is one of our best players and he does lead very well on the ice. So, like you say, if he is getting suspensions for that, and then how can he turn around and try to lead the way with regards to the other players? I think it's been a lot better since. A lot better since, but I can understand this question. I can understand the fact that the Giants' discipline hasn't been maybe as squeaky clean as we want it to be. But when you play that aggressive style forward game, when you are trying to get in the goalies' faces, you are playing a high line, especially from defence, surely this is going to be something that falls out of it anyway.
We only trail
in second place in penalty minutes taken this season, the Cardiff Devils, and Cardiff play that hard nosed, aggressive game, especially in the blue ten. We know it's not a position that we've been in for a long time. You know, we're usually quite well down. I like the aggressive style of hockey. I like the blue collar type of hockey that we're playing this season, but it's the little calls that are going against us. I don't mind taking roughing calls. I don't mind taking the cross checks and the elbows and the slashings. It's the hooking and the soft interference calls and, you know, soft minor penalties and misconducts for chirping, you know, tripping penalties, all wee things like that that just annoy you when, you know, it breaks the game up, it loses the fluidity whenever you're tonking a team like Fife. We at 2-0 up, we were absolutely hammering them, and we've taken a couple of just dopey wee penalties, as we talked about at the top of the show, and it just gives all your momentum away and losing shorthanded goals, things like that. Just concentration issues and penalty issues are things that Coach Walser's only 3 months into his tenure as a coach. These are things that he's ironing out, and we are getting better.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think we have certainly improved, but we just need to cut out those. I think the misconducts are the big one. You know, it's a team discipline thing, and maybe they need to look at doing something. Be it, I know that Derek Walser's talked about fines before, but maybe they need to do something, maybe a little bit extra special to try and cut out those from the team.
Well, I think that was the main discussion point. So it's Stephen Murray is the one for the fan agenda this week. Thanks for setting it. Remember to keep them coming through the week using hashtag TFA on Facebook and Twitter. After the NCAA games on Friday and Saturday, the Belfast Giants have their only game of the weekend. That is at home, and it is the return of the Manchester Storm. The Manchester Storm will also be playing, of course, the Belfast Giants in the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup. But at this moment in time, the Storm are 4 wins from the last 10 meetings. The last meeting for them was the 2-1 game in Manchester that went to a shootout. And before that, of course, the home opener 6-2 in Belfast. Earlier today, I had a chance to have a chat with the player coach of the Manchester Storm, and that's, of course, Omar Pasha. Ahead of Sunday's game against the Manchester Storm, delighted to be joined by the player coach of the Storm, Omar Pasha. How are you, mate?
Not too bad yourself.
Grant, mate, grant. Listen, it's the season started tough for you guys, but now you're starting to get a few away wins. You know, you had Fife and Coventry recently. It shows that your team's starting to gel a bit more.
Yeah, we're getting there. I mean, there's still work to be done. You know, you look at the past 4 or 5 weeks, barring a Cardiff game, we played at home or in every single game. Mm-hmm. We always give ourselves a chance to win, but at the same time, you know, Saturday we had a good lead go against Brea, and we weren't doing the little things right, and we're starting to gel our team when we actually do the small things, to play well defensively, you know, keep things simple and to use our speed when we have the puck. And we still have ways to go, but you can see, though, improvement every single week in different aspects of our game. And hopefully one of these weeks, when we have a full team practice with Deeds and obviously our Brits, I think that will help. And hopefully we can start gelling and start improving as a team as soon as possible.
What's been the biggest challenge that you faced then? Because there has been a couple of these situations where you have raced in the lead, say, against Brayhead, and they've pegged you back. Is it conditioning? Is it getting the longevity of the game? Or is it just adapting to a larger ice surface?
I think at home, for example, that Brayhead game, we got a bit too aggressive offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we had a good lead, and maybe we were trying to do a little bit too much offensively and try maybe to have a blowout, which is you can't really do that to any team in this league, and especially against Brayhead. So we were maybe too much on the attack, where maybe we should have sat back a bit and wait for our chances. And, you know, we had a great first period, and the second and third actually cost us just because we were a bit too aggressive offensively. But, you know, that's something that we did a good job on Sunday, a bit better anyways, to, you know, when we had a lead, we dumb it down a bit. We played, you know, a more defensive type game, mm-hmm. rather than all on the offense. And we were putting pucks deep, and we're getting chances, you know, by keeping it simple, because we're a good offensive skilled team. And when we don't necessarily have to force the play to get our chances. Sometimes it just comes to ourselves by being in the right position, either when you're trapping or in any forecheck. So, yeah, so we'll move on and hopefully we can have that this weekend.
Well, you bring up that with regards to scoring, and you know, Matt Carey, Vinny Scarsella and Luke Salazar are all in the top 10 for scoring in the Elite League. But when it comes to after that, maybe the secondary scoring isn't as apparent. Now, Ricky Brzezinski is obviously fine. You know, what else needs to improve there to get that secondary scoring?
I think secondary scoring is important for any team in this league, but for us, I think we have to focus more on defense, you know, on the 5-on-5 play. You know, we looked at our power play last few weeks, hasn't been really good. We clicked finally against Coventry on Sunday, but you know what, the secondary scoring, it will come eventually. There's one line that's going to be hotter than the other. It's like that on every team. But it's more about the defensive game. What can you bring as an individual when maybe you're not scoring? You know, are you playing good defense? Are you coming back to the slot? Are you clearing out the slot? You know, are you, your weak side is dropping in? There's different aspects. You know, it's not only about scoring 4 or 5 goals a game. We have to realize that sometimes, you know, we're going to go into games, you know, it's going to be 2-1, 3-2, and sometimes our forwards, also our D, are going to win the game just by playing good defense. And that's something we, you know, slowly but surely, I think the guys are grasping that. But now it's the time to really focus as a team to maybe dumb it down defensively. And like you said, you know, we'll see this weekend, and that's what we want to do. And, you know, we have a good goalie. So when we keep them to the outside, our goalie is going to always make the first save. And that's why we have to make sure we're covering the easy back doors and stuff like that.
We've spoken before about, you know, the British depth on your side and the fact that Davey Phillips and Mike Davis and Chilcott and all doing very well. And you brought in the likes of Jared Dickinson from Altrincham doing well there. But how's the scope to bulk out your Brit core? Because obviously in this league, it's quite important to have that level standard of British players.
I mean, we talk about this, Neil and I, on a regular basis about that. And that's why we're trying to get involved a lot more with the juniors around here to maybe see in the future about bringing guys up from the junior system of Manchester to us, you know, because when we recruited the team, obviously a lot of the Brits that, you know, our top end guys that can play in the Elite League, we're all taken, we're all signed. So at that point, it was tough to maybe get one or two additional Brits. But now it's up to us to look locally to try to find some guys that, maybe not this year because it might be a little bit too late, but obviously in the future, and also obviously, you know, keep our eyes open for other Brits and in other areas of the country.
Devin Didier-Mady, you mentioned him earlier on, is a name well known throughout the Elite League, and there's been a bit of a saga to get him in, but now he's in. How much of a relief is that to have another body on the bench?
I think it's great to have him on the team. I mean, I liked his weekend so far. You know, he only played 2 games. He didn't even practice with us, but I just see from day one, you know, his attitude and his positivity regarding the game is great. I mean, he's always got a smile. He's always, you know, cracking jokes. He's always energetic. And you know what? I thought Sunday he was really, really good. I thought Saturday, you know, he was still jet lag. I thought he had a good game, but you can see the real Devin on Sunday, where he was more physical. He was getting pucks deep, and he created 2 goals for himself. You know, that first goal, made a good play at the blue line, cutting across, finding our guy, and then the last goal, he just went in for a big hit, puck came, scored it out, and went right to our guy. So you know, Deeds brings that element of physicality and also that positivity in the room, and that's something we maybe need, and a bit of a character, you know, and that's always a good thing, you know, because I think we as a group, we were really all good guys, all guys that get along, but maybe we were missing a bit of a spark in the locker room, and hopefully he can bring that to us for the rest of the year.
Before the game on Sunday, you obviously host Dundee at home, but what's the atmosphere like now at Altrincham? Is it starting to improve? I know it was a bit of a slow start, but the fans seem to be coming in. There seems to be a proper following.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting, you can just see every week it's getting bigger and bigger, the crowds. I mean, obviously, when you make a team this late in the summer, it affects the marketing too, you know. So usually some teams take a year before even coming into the league just for the marketing aspects. I know that's how it is in North America, just for you know, season tickets, sponsorship and everything. So I think considering that, it's been really good. And you can see every week It's improving. You know, there's a lot of positive feedback from the fans saying that it's a good, entertaining show. So hopefully the fans will keep coming, and obviously it'll help when we start stringing out wins at home. And you know, we've been playing well at home, but sometimes we've been losing games. So maybe if we, you know, turn that around and win some home games, maybe there'll be a little bit more crowds and more people encouraging us. But it's being louder every week, and I don't know, I like that rink, and I like our fans, so hopefully there'll be a lot more.
Well, you always tell me you don't want to talk about Belfast, but let's talk about Belfast on Sunday. This is the third time you've taken them on in regards to the difference between the first game in Belfast and the game a couple of weeks ago, that 2-1 shutout loss, penalty shots loss, on what was basically iffy ice, but showed a real battle between the sides. As I said, you're starting to win away from home now. What are you expecting going into the Odyssey this time?
You know, obviously, when we're looking at the weekend, we're focusing a lot on the Dundee game, and then we'll do everything to prepare for that Belfast game. But obviously, it's a bigger ice sheet. It's one of the nicest rinks in the league. And you know, when we played there at the beginning of the year, we played a good 30 minutes. I mean, we were right in there, and before we started making a bit of turnovers, where they're a good team. You know, they have some fast forwards, they have some good puck moving D. So you got to play the game smart against them too, and you can't go in a run and gun because they have some offensive power that can hurt us. And
one more thing, Omar, is the fact that you've been working alongside Neil Russell for quite a few weeks now. Has anything rubbed off?
Yeah, a bit. You know, he's been teaching me a few expressions he had when he was working with Premier Sports or in the Belfast. The fabulous Odyssey Arena, the Belfast Giants, the Heartbeat, oh, there's Adam Key, the Paul 80, oh.
It's uncanny, mate, uncanny. Absolutely brilliant. Thanks again to Pash. I love Pash's attitude. He's such a, like, he's a really nice guy. I'm doing my Davey McGimsey, Mark Lefebvre moment. he's a really nice bloke, and really good. Him and Television's Neil and Coach Russell get on. You can see there's a proper rapport there, and they work really well together. As you can hear, he's already doing impressions of him. Hitchie'll love that. Aaron, the Manchester Storm can only be described as an improving team.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to look at the difference between the two games where we played them. We started out early in the season, and you know, they kept it tight for a wee bit at the start of the game, but in all honesty, it was an easy win for us. Then we went to Manchester, obviously a different rink. It wasn't, you know, the ice wasn't great and whatever, but really they held us to, well, they held us to 1-1 in normal time, and then they deserved it. You know, we only really had the one good chance, which we scored from, but you know, they put the pressure on, and they could very easily have won that game. I think it'll be different for them coming on the road into Belfast. But yeah, I mean, they're dangerous, and they've got a lot of dangerous players in there.
Yeah, Davey, as I said in that interview, you know, they've got Salazar, Correa, and Scarsella in the top 10 elite league for scoring, but it's secondary scoring that's really the problem for them.
It is secondary scoring, and they've got two big guys that I really admired. Whenever we were down in Manchester watching the game, and Grant Toulmin and Patrick Valcak, I thought they
were good players.
Big bodies. I think Toulmin must be 6'4", 6'5", you know, and Valcak must be 230 pounds. You know, they're two huge human beings, but they were very opportunistic in the way they played, and they found space on the ice, and they were the two that were willing to go and put their backside into Murphy and go and stand at the top of the crease. As we talked about the last time, whenever we critiqued the game against them, and we talked about how they seemed to play on the outside a lot, and you know, I can hear Coach now listening to this podcast going,
net presence,
take his eyes, you know, I can hear all those things from Coach, and he's absolutely right. They play a lot of the game on the outside, but they're two guys that are willing to go in there, and we have to have the likes of Mitch Ganzak and Matt Nickerson clearing the crease to let Murphy see it. Murphy can see it, he'll save it. But they've got, you know, different angles now coming in with Didi Ometi coming into the team, and what's the other guy?
Ricky Berzinch. He is very good.
You know, they'll both bring different things to the team. He brings, you know, brings the quality. Didi Ometi brings the sandpaper, and he's going to be occupied. You know, he's going to be occupying the likes of Keefe and Lloyd and Nickerson. He's going to take the eyes away, take their concentration away, well, that's what he's attempting to do. He's got to be that rink rat. He's got to be that agitator. And he's got to try and, you know, take them. Well, obviously, Lloyder's not going to be playing, but, you know, he's got to go in there and wind people up and try and get them off the game. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be fun. I expect us to win because we've got more quality, I think, right spread throughout our roster. We're better in defence going forward, especially. We've got a very good transition game at the minute. And, you know, Manchester will be coming in to try and avenge a bit of that 6-2, and I think they feel a wee bit hard done by in the 2-1. I still think that we were probably the better team in Manchester that night, but, you know, the poor quality ice and not wanting to travel for the second time in the weekend and stuff, and it just got in our head a little bit. I think we'll be much better prepared the next time we go back to Manchester, but I expect us to win and be good. Hopefully coach is over at the weekend and we'll get a bit of banter with him.
I hope Pash is ready for Chris Higgins again after the last time they met at the Odyssey Arena. I think he remembers it. Well, he does because it gets brought up every time I see him. But yes, the regards to that home game, it's the only home game the Belfast Giants have and the only game the Giants have this weekend. So hopefully they'll be a lot better prepared, a lot more jump in them in this game than the Manchester Storm, who will be hosting the Dundee Stars the night before. It's at 5 PM at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there. And if you can't, of course, you got Sizz and Johnny back behind the mic.
Nope. So isn't Davey McGimsey this week?
Oh, you're on this one, Davey.
I managed to sneak in under the radar there, yeah.
You're preparing the stats and all. You've been preparing the stats for that webcast all the season long so far, so we're expecting big things.
Oh, I've got a belt of a stat. I'll keep it for Sunday afternoon.
It's not your day. It's one that was absolutely wrong.
Tune in now, aren't they?
Yeah, and you can, if you tune in £20, you can also get all the NCAA games as well as Sizz and all the nonsense that I talk.
That's it. Absolutely. Nicely done. It was £20 is a reminder for that webcast, plus all the NCAA games. It's great, great for the Giants, great coverage for the Giants. But yeah, if you can't make it down to the game, well, put your hand in your pocket on Friday and get to watch all 5 games for the BC sum of £20. Any other business, gents?
Yes, Paddy, I've only one. Our good friend, Aaron Murphy, Murphy on Ice, you're on your home for hockey, has started the EIHL on Ice, Premier Sports Thursday nights, repeated on Fridays, highlights from around the league from the quality cameras. I don't think they'll show so much from the likes of Edinburgh. And that's it's another incentive. I say that facetiously. It's another incentive for the likes of Scotty Nate to go and invest in the infrastructure because he can get his message out there better. Because this elite league program is showcasing the elite league, and people are going to not even know Edinburgh exists because they're only play away games. Yeah. You know, so it's an incentive for advertising. He can get his message out that there is primetime hockey. And, you know, okay, the old barn in Edinburgh is rustic, let's call it that, but it's a good place to watch hockey. It's a big rink. It's cold. Take a jacket in the winter, but go down there and support your team. But Murph is doing a great job there. He's so passionate about, you know, you watch the Apprentice sometimes, and all the candidates in The Apprentice are passionate, but Murph has it more than any of them. He loves this sport, and he loves this country, and he does so much hard work for this sport in this country, and, you know, kudos to him. Support him when you can. Tap him on the shoulder next time you see him in the rink. Buy him a beer. He'll maybe even buy you one back.
Yeah,
doubtful.
We'll see, because he's in Belfast over the weekend, so we'll see if we can hold him to that.
We'll test that out.
But yes, the EIHL on Ice on Premier Thursday nights, repeated on Friday. Great to see that. Great to have that in the league, and well done to Murph and the guys at Premier. Aaron, anything?
Yeah, just like the, you know, first of all, you know, we've gone over, just congratulate everyone on bringing this to the, you know, bringing the NCAA to Belfast, but just wish everyone well, be it the players, be it the staff, the coaches and everyone who's made, you know, come over to make this possible, and enjoy it. And anyone who's going to watch, enjoy.
I think it is the case that we have wish everybody well, and I hope that it's as good a tournament as we all hope it to be. And on that note, I just want to say thanks to Shane Johnson, Omar Pasha, Rhonda McClure from the Pink Puck website, Jordan Pietras, Derek Walser, Nick Lappin, Sis says Lappin, I'm leaving it at that, and Jason Guerrero from Brown University. I'll see you two gents this weekend.
See you on Friday morning, mate.
I'll see you on Friday. Looking forward to it.
It should be good. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.